Hey, everybody. Welcome to UGA Sports Live podcast. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I'm joined by a longtime staffer, actually one of the first people I hired at UGASports.com because he's my former college roommate, Dave McMahon, is sitting with me here at Academia Brewing Company. And, of course, everyone's tuned in to hear what Jim Donnan has to say and get the latest recruiting news from Jake Roos. And, of course, the good pro football focus slash what video highlights slash analytical stakes from Dane Young there in our quote-unquote control room. So thanks to Dane and Coach Don and Jake and Dave for being on the show with me today. I really appreciate it. Really no point for me being here because with all you guys here, I could probably just sit in the back of Academia here and have that great wild mushroom pasta that they have. It's fantastic. Try all the different beers. We are in the lounge area. If you come in, they have their whole restaurant area. They have a canning area in the back where they can up all the beers. They have the chef over there on the left when you first come in. You know, it is a brewing company, but it does have an actual chef running the kitchen. Great bar area. But if you want to just sit and enjoy beers and not actually have the kind of table service or feel like you're taking up a table, come sit in the lounge with us. All the drinks are behind me, some of their specialties. So check out Academia Brewing Company when you get a chance. You're in Athens. Coach, last night we saw the championship game. Alabama rolled Ohio State. I think Ohio State losing Trey Sermon right off the bat was brutal, but we saw Justin Fields struggle. Would anybody have struggled against Alabama last night? I don't know that anybody could have beat them this year.
Yeah, you know, about 5 o'clock last night, I got a text from Chris Felica, the Bear, at ESPN, and he told me that 72, their best D lineman, and 11, their best pass rusher, both had COVID, and also that they weren't going to – that their kicker was going to be out. So, you know, right off the bat, their only chance on defense was to get some pressure on Jones. I mean, their secondary has gotten torched by everybody all year. You look at Indiana, 400 yards passing, all that. Stats can tell you all about. But without those two guys in the D-line, I knew it was going to be a tough deal. And then right off the bat, they lose Sermon, number 8, their best back, and they lose their best – offensive lineman Davis, whose dad played for me at Missouri. So that's no excuse, but I mean, you got to play Alabama with your best guys, and they didn't have them, you know, in the areas where they needed them. Running game to take the pressure off Justin, and rushing a passer to take the pressure off their secondary. With that being said, though, I thought Alabama is very much significant of the fact that, usually speaking, when you got a big-time quarterback, he kind of carries the load. I mean, you don't have a lot of supporting cast. You don't have guys out there that are difference makers, maybe one or two. But you talk about difference makers, they got one at every position. They got a guy that can do it, and then they're waiting on the sideline. Robinson comes in there and just torches them running the ball. So I don't want to get a love fest here, but I do think it's one of the best offensive teams. You know, I thought LSU last year was really there, but I don't think their offensive line anywhere near what we saw with Bama's. And it's just a great indicator. Since 2017, Nick's flipped his whole staff. He doesn't have one guy on his staff that coached there in the 17 team. He's had 5 different offensive coordinators, 4 different defensive coordinators. But the one constant, the old Nick-tator, just keeps putting it out there. And you got to give him credit. I mean, any way you look at it. And the one thing that just keeps rolling through my mind, 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, the Georgia Bulldogs were ahead of this team without a really great offense. And our defense pretty much did a pretty good job when you look at what they did on Devontae. We didn't stop Waddle much. But, hey, this is really one of the best teams of all time when you look at their record for one reason. They went through the whole SEC. They didn't play any people. You know, any cupcakes. They won undefeated in the SEC and then dominated like they did. You got to give them a lot of credit. And that's all I'm going to say good about them today. So that's it.
Dane, I'm sure you got a few takes when you watch that game. I was basically just being snarky throughout the whole thing because I did bring up the fact that, you know, Georgia led this team till about 5 minutes into the third quarter. And that's with a bunch of turnovers on tip balls, a bunch of batted passes, a bunch of dropped passes. I'd forgotten about the passes that were dropped on offense. You know, when you hit a receiver in the hands, he doesn't catch it. I mean, we covered that game live, and it was just a – you like where Georgia was. And then a record setting or a personal best field goal to cut it to 24-20. I mean, before the half, Georgia could have gone into that 20, been up 7 at half and throughout the game. But that second half, the wheels kind of came off. But when I'm watching that game last night and watching how they destroyed Notre Dame, I'm just thinking Georgia was hanging with this team until Georgia shot itself in the foot.
Doesn't Georgia always shoot themselves in the foot against Alabama?
Right. Well, you know, the role of a journalist, and this is what I was kind of doing in the moment, was you try to contextualize and say, all right, this thing that's happening in the present, what is its place in history, and then what is it set up for the future? And I think Coach just mentioned that there's a chance, and I'm probably too young and probably don't have enough context to actually give a take like this, but there's a chance that the best two teams in the history of college football just won the last two national championships, LSU in 19 and Alabama in 20. Both teams had offenses that were virtually unstoppable. They had a couple small little hiccups, but for the most part, they could score at will. And that's what champions have to do, I think, in college football. Now, the other thing is when I saw that Ohio State had a linebacker trying to cover Devontae Smith down the field, I was like, oh, Lord, that's it. As my Granny Young would say, just bless their heart, it's over with.
Hey, that's Georgia game plan. Played the linebacker on the back.
On Devontae.
No, just kidding there. We covered those backs pretty good all year, but we just had a hard time against Florida. But I would say this. I've always had a hard time. We're going to let Jake come in here. I've always had a hard time, you know, saying, hey, these are the best of all time and all this, because it's just so hard to compare, you know, different kinds of teams and styles and all. But neither one of these teams, LSU or Alabama, had anything like the defenses like Alabama had in 2011, where they didn't give up but less than 100 points for the whole season and all. But it's a different game now. I mean, everybody runs a spread. Everybody's got, you know, a lot of different concepts. And the thing about it that's just unreal to me is everybody's on the Sark train, and I think he did a tremendous job. He won the Boyle Award. But he's running the same stuff he ran at SC, the same stuff he ran at Washington, the different kind of yo-yo motions, all that stuff. But for some reason, UCLA, Stanford, Arizona State, they could cover it. But these other teams can't. So
I don't know that he had Jalen Waddell and Devontae Smith.
Exactly. But that's the point. You know, players win games. And players lose games.
He has the Jimmy and Joes now.
Right. Yeah. But I'm just telling you that he's going to be in for a – he can put a lot of points on against those Big 12 defenses, that's for sure. But I don't think everybody at Oklahoma is really too worried about it right now as far as that hire. I think Sark's a good coach. But, you know, Herman was a good coach. But Oklahoma's got a pretty good head start on everybody.
Yeah, Devontae and Jalen Waddell aren't walking through the gates at DKR. You know, they're not walking through the gates anywhere. So,
here's the thing, Jake, and you can tell me, weren't Judy and Ruggs, what's his other guys, Henry Ruggs, weren't they two first round draft choices last year?
They were.
And then they got these two guys this year.
Yes, and then they probably got Mechie, given that he'll be taking the reins. So they're probably shooting at five. I mean, it's possible that we're talking about a wide receiver core that produces five first round draft picks, which is absolutely absurd. Now, you know, I think it had to feel bad too for Georgia fans to see, you know, Devontae Smith out there, who was a former commit. I remember going and seeing him in Louisiana right after he committed. So, you know, it's tough to take that, I guess, to a degree, but overall, you know, I mean, credit to Alabama. I still, when I'm talking great teams of all time, I still tend to lean toward that 0-1 Miami team personally, just because of the NFL talent that they have.
No question. That was good.
But I think that there's a compelling argument to be made for these guys. And I think that these guys were dominant in a way that few teams have ever been dominant. So
Nine straight games going back to us that they never trailed.
Kudos.
That game last night was tied twice. But one thing I want to mention here, you're talking about personnel moves, recruiting, stuff like that. I sent a message to Roddy this morning. Sam Petito.
The Bull.
We had Devontae Smith. All of a sudden, Here comes Pruitt. He leaves. He goes to Bama. Unreal. Mm-hmm. Sam gets a job over there. And Devontae switches. Isn't that what happened?
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. So, I mean, Sam's
blame it on Sam. Sam, damn you, Sam. Damn you, Sam.
I saw that tweet going around yesterday of Devontae's decommitment where it's, you know, I decommit from the University of Georgia. And I'm like, man, that's just a shot in the heart. I mean, haven't Georgia fans suffered enough right now to have to see that?
I'll be honest, going back to
the personnel move there, that's what did it.
That's exactly what it was.
Georgia has, I mean, Alabama has three Heisman Trophy winners all time. Two of them were Georgia commits at one point.
Yeah, that's true.
both of them recruited by.
All right. Well, that's enough out of Dave for today.
Jeremy Pruitt recruited Henry and Devontae.
Yeah. No, I think that's important to remember. You know, people probably like to look back on that, like you're saying, and think, oh, you know, Georgia had this kid, they lost him. That whole recruitment boiled down to Sam Petito, for sure. He was the reason that Devontae Smith committed to Georgia. He was the reason he committed to Alabama. I mean, it just is what it is. And
yeah. I mean, that's a good story though. Just goes to show you.
No question.
Kid grew up, knows the guy. I mean, it was a good move by Nick as usual. I mean, they got.
I think Sam actually stood on the table to get some of the offers that Devontae Smith got. You know, because people were like, well, he's a little undersized. You know, he's a little skinny. You know, and he's like, no, you guys don't understand. Yeah, he's kind of from my hometown, but. This kid's legit and, you know, stood up for him in Georgia.
That dog night performance really helped as well.
But you look at the pro game now, Lamar Jackson, Hollywood Brown, these small receivers, these agile quarterbacks, these zone – I mean, you look at Allen, a big kid that's playing quarterback for the Bills. I mean – zone read is up there for the NFL now, and these receivers, they're not getting beat up there because you can't hit them after 5 yards. I mean, those guys, I mean, it's unreal.
I want to go back to Jake, because this was going to be my question for you. When you look at the fact that Georgia may have its most top to bottom, its most talented roster from a recruiting standpoint, you know, back-to-back-to-back number one classes for Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart, a lot of good coaches on his staff, you know, up-and-comers, guys that get job offers all the time. Everybody's trying to poach his coordinators in the past. You know, they've done it. Kirby Smart developing quite the coaching tree, but it just seems to me like the frustration from Georgia fans this year was when you're going into it, and again, you didn't have the quarterback you wanted, but the – you're supposed to have this great defense, and Alabama hung 41 points on that defense thanks to some of the turnovers. You had a situation where it's like Nick Saban over in Tuscaloosa, as Coach pointed out, since 2007, complete staff turnover, not one guy left. And Georgia's beating Alabama in the recruiting rankings. Now they should go toe-to-toe, and Nick Saban puts out his best freaking offensive team that he may have ever had.
He has ever had.
Yeah, that he has ever had. They can back it up there. So, what is the hope for Georgia? I mean, you got to be the man. You got to be the man. It feels frustrating. It's like, look, you're recruiting well. You got good coaches, and damn it, Stephen's just taking it up a notch. He's done.
Here's the thing: you took over a program that was, you know. Any way you look at it, the cupboard was not full. But four of the last 4 years, we finished in the top 10 in the country. We finished seventh or sixth this year with a complete rebuild on offense, with the quarterback quitting with 2 weeks to go before the season started. So, hey, it's not anything anybody wants to hear, but it's a reality. But the other thing about Nick that I just can't believe, three different decades now he's won a national championship. And he didn't really have a winning season or wasn't a really big-time coach till he was 52 years old. So Kirby got 7 more years before he can start winning big.
He wasn't winning titles with Michigan State or Toledo. He did win one with LSU. But, I mean, early on, he struggled early on. So maybe Kirby's just going through that little phase right now, and 7 years from now, this podcast will all talk about him winning title after title after title.
But it's just the frustration factor, because no matter – and I always call this the 1980 comeback. So Georgia blows the doors off of Tennessee. The big Georgia fan goes to his office, and Steve in accounting, you know, is a big Tennessee fan, and he kind of rubs it in Steve's face, and Steve's frustrated, 1980, you know, and it just makes the Georgia fan lose his damn mind, you know. Yeah. It's that no matter what good happens, doesn't matter that you've beaten Florida, doesn't matter that you beat them three times in a row, doesn't matter that you beat your Drummond Tech, you're whipping Auburn's ass every year after year after year, you get thrown 1980 in your face, and it discombobulates these people.
Many I like people the handshake.
Subscribe to UKSports.com, and thank you for doing that, are live in Atlanta area, and most people in Atlanta have friends that went to Florida State, Tennessee, LSU, Alabama, Auburn, and all they talk about is 1980. Hey, we won a championship here. We won a championship here. When is it your turn? But if I was telling somebody, I mean, I know it's not exactly the same. If you would have told us when we were in school, Roddy, that we would have four straight top 10 ranking seasons, we would have took that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But now the sign of the times is we got to win it all. Georgia has to win it all.
It's taking some of the joy. It's taking a lot of the joy out of college football in general, following the Dogs, because it doesn't matter that you beat Dan Mullen, you know, or that you beat, Jeremy Pruitt, or that you beat Gus Malzahn. The only thing that, and we hear people say this all the time, Tyler nothing, you know, Tyler. And I'm like, really? And again, I don't want to say I'm settling for mediocrity, but I get that frustration. And then when we were hearing, you know, in the last couple of years, well, maybe Saban's slipping. He can't hold on to some of these assistants. Yeah, this isn't, he's not playing for a title. He was on the national title broadcast last year. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, he'll move on into the television booth. No, Saban's come back. And
he can't keep assistants, though, because he's getting them different jobs. I mean, when Sark came into Alabama, he had such a stain on his name for how USC ended. And then he went through the Saban rehab program with his reputation. And now it's Bill O'Brien's turn to do the same thing.
Well, Bill O'Brien is a good lick for him. I think the big deal for me with Alabama is Bryce Young. Hopefully for their sake, he can do it. But, you know, they never really cut him loose much this year. Every time he went in, his mop up, and he doesn't look very big at all. And that's something that worries you a little bit in this league. But hopefully we'll be okay from that standpoint. But the one saving grace that I would say, the only team that really has been competitive with Alabama in the big games beside Clemson has been Georgia. When you look at going to overtime in 17, I'm just saying we're close, but it's like Hurts and Avis, you know. I mean, there's a lot of good things to talk about. But let's start talking about, first of all, I read yesterday where you said we had like 16 new guys coming in. He did a good job writing that up. You must have been over there sneaking in the bushes, Jake. That's a lot. There's a lot of good guys coming in this early. I mean, and that's going to help our team. And we've had so much good news, certainly a little bad news with Tyreek Stevenson. But there comes a point when, you know, you got a guy that's just homesick. And I'm going to take up for the kids on one statement, not just him. But usually speaking, during the fall, a kid's going to go home at least twice. After summer school, before the practice starts, he's going to be able to go home. After, before the bowl game, all that stuff, you're going to get to go home. But now this COVID, these kids been up here since July 13th, and pretty much restrained from doing anything outside of getting tested and doing everything else and doing virtual classes. So it's a different deal about being homesick than it used to be, I think. I just think it's like I used to tell players, go on home for a week, Dan, and then come back. You'll come back. Because it's just the fact you can't go there. That's what hurts. You can't go home. So, and I'm sure Miami's hitting them with this, you know, we need you. You're going to come in here. But there's a big strain on a kid. I know in recruiting down there in South Florida, there's a lot of people. These kids grow up playing little league football, these coaches and all. They put a lot of pressure on them about Miami. I can tell you that.
Oh, you're right. I've actually seen some of those little league games, and the teams have chants. The team is chanting during the game. It's amazing. And I mean,
It's the only place I've heard of where they bet on youth football.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely do. And it's not, I'm serious. When you talk about this, these are neighborhood things. So you go down to, like, the Youth Football Association, you know, and some of them play on great fields. Some of them play on ridiculously bad fields. But you go down and check out some of that stuff, and it's the people in the stand. It feels like a high school game, you know, and it's like, this is the 8 and under. This is the 10 and under. This is the 12 and under. It's a riot. So, but again, and it's a lot of pressure. And there's a lot of, motivation to play for Miami. I get it. We wish Tyreek Stevenson the best. It does bring up the question of, you know, what Georgia's going to do in its secondary now that you've lost Eric Stokes to the NFL. You lost Tyson Campbell to the NFL. DJ Daniels is going to try his chances in the NFL. Your starting star, Mark Webb, has graduated. He's moving on. Richard LeCount graduating. He's moving on. So, four starters out of five in the secondary. That's pretty brutal. So you lose those guys, but you got some other guys coming back.
Georgia had nine interceptions last year. All nine are players that are not going to be on the team next year. The only two interceptions, Breeny had one the year before, and Sean had one the year before. But no one coming back had an interception last year.
All nine interceptions, and I think. Our buddy Brent Rollins said that's 2,217 snaps between those guys that have left. So that's a lot of things we'll have to replace in secondary. I know we have a lot of questions about those. Before we get into the questions and talk about some of the guys who are coming back, I want to mention our good friends over at Athens Ford. They support the show. They support our podcast. They supported our Watch Along show. If you missed the Watch Along show, you missed a lot, where we basically would sit down and have Coach Donald in the room, and he would basically just give us a live commentary on the Georgia games as they progressed. That was a lot of fun. We hope to do that again next year.
They're still on the YouTube channel, so go back and watch them while you're rewatching the game if you want to.
They're great stuff. Oh,
hey, somebody, how many people – you said we had a lot of – I mean, just for the fans, how many people did we actually end up after all three platforms for that last game?
About 35,000, I think.
Yeah, it was between 30 and 35,000, I think.
That's like Georgia Tech in a non-COVID year.
Oh. Like, about 35,000 people watched.
That's pretty good.
Join 35,000 of your best friends as we watch the Georgia games. But again, we would not be able to do that with folks like Athens Ford. They sponsor us. They sponsor the website. They've been doing it for years. They sponsor this podcast. If it weren't for them, we wouldn't be doing the podcast. So as we start a new year, we want to say thank you to Athens Ford. The best way that if you ever watch the show or you do our watch along, even if you're not a member of UGA Sports, you should be, when you need a new or pre-owned vehicle, swing out to our friends at Athens Ford. You can check out everything online. You don't even have to, you can have one of their salespeople go out and they will walk around the car on Facebook or Zoom or whatever, and they will show you, FaceTime, they will show you the vehicle inside and out. They'll drop it off for you to do a test drive, or you can swing out and pick it up yourself and drive it around. All their vehicles will come with a lifetime powertrain warranty, at least all their new ones and all their pre-owned ones, 180,000 miles. So when you get a chance, if you like these shows and you need a vehicle, go out to Athens Ford and let them know that you watch the show and you appreciate them supporting us, because we certainly do. All right, Jake, we can talk about Tyreek Stevenson leaving, but you mentioned a lot of those new freshmen coming in. Are some of those new freshmen, 16 of them at this point, I don't know that Kirby Smart or Georgia has ever had 16 early enrollees at UGA before. I can't remember that in recent memory. But are any of them defensive backs? This is what we need to know.
I don't know how many schools have ever had 16 guys come in as early enrollees. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous just in and of itself. I do want to say one more thing on Tyreek Stevenson, because as somebody who covers recruiting, and you guys know this, but I want to make sure that listeners understand this. Like what Howard Schnellenberger said years and years and years ago about the state of Miami, it's probably more true than anywhere that I've covered recruiting. It's just a different world down there. The communities are so tight-knit. The kids are all so connected. Like you said, the youth coaches and everything, it's just, it's so insular, almost in the way that the state of Louisiana is. But imagine compressing down the whole city and that's it. And it's, you know, it's just something to really behold. So I get it. I understand how something like this could happen. I've seen people say, you know, how does this make sense? What makes sense about this? I want to tell people as well that we even heard last year some talk about maybe Tyreek Stevenson trying to find his way into the possible transfer portal. Georgia talked him back into coming back, but, you know, kudos to the kid. I think that everybody should remember him very fondly for what was his last contribution for UGA, which was saving the Peach Bowl for sure. Now,
one more thing, you know, it's water under the bridge, over the bridge, but James Coley, I mean, Cook, Tyreek, Campbell, Devaud Wilson. I mean, just the pipeline in there. After that 2017 national championship game, we just really rolled out of South Florida. I mean, just had it rolling. And you build up a relationship with the coaches, and those kids are tight with them. And I'm sure that they built up a relationship with the coaches here now. But fortunately,
we're going to go to Texas A&M.
Fortunately, Cook coming back, that's going to be good, but the other three are gone.
Well, you've already seen that, Roddy. I mean, Yule Keith Brown and Amari Daniels, two guys Georgia targeted, Amari more so than Yule Keith, straight out of Miami all the way to College Station now. I mean, James Coley gets those kids. That's what he does. That's part of why he's had such great success in his career, for sure. He's a great coach. Don't get me wrong, but his work in South Florida speaks for itself, and it's benefited everywhere he's ever been.
Yeah. You'll keep running, but, go back to the question there. Are any of those 16 guys cornerbacks or secondary guys who could, maybe contribute right off the bat?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about contribute right off the bat necessarily. There is one guy who jumps off the list to me. There are three guys who come in early and roll, in this class that are defensive backs. That's Javon Bullard, David Daniel, and Nyland Green. Now, you got 2 4 stars in that group, and then Bullard's a 3-star. I don't know if Bullard's ready to make that jump just yet. I think that he was a guy that Georgia took, not necessarily as a project, but maybe as a developmental guy, a guy that they think can be ready in a year or two. Certainly, I think at the star position, he becomes important and is similarly sized to Tyreek Stevenson. So that's going to be important for them. I think that he's kind of a guy, though, that can play any of those, I guess, 5 spots back there necessarily. I look at David Daniel. I think that he's also going to take a little bit of time to acclimate, and I think that the guys ahead of him just have more experience on him. I think Chris Smith is a guy who's waited his turn. He got some meaningful reps this year. Obviously, Lewis Seen's not going anywhere. So David, I think, probably also a year out. When you're talking about the early enrollees, though, a defensive back, Nyland Green jumps off the page. He's the guy that I think a lot of hopes are pinned around when it comes to immediate contributions. And, you know, it shouldn't be discounted how difficult it is to step into this league and play cornerback right off the bat against these freak wide receivers that everyone's begun to recruit and has on their rosters now. I mean, it's not just fast guys, it's big guys. It's, you know, the Kyle Pitts's of the world, as well as the Devontae Smiths. So you got to be able to cover a whole range of guys. To me, Nyland Green is a guy who can do that. He's about 6'2.5", 6'3". He's got that length that you're looking for. He's a track guy, plays the ball exceptionally well. When you go watch the film on this kid, that's what I love about him. You see a lot of cornerbacks that put their film together, and it's them returning kicks or it's them playing wide receiver. Nyland Green's film is him playing cornerback, and he is dominant at that position. You know, a guy with great anticipation. I think he's the kid that you can pin your hopes around being an immediate contributor. And from everything we've heard, you know, from folks around Buttsmere, it does seem that there is some of that hope as well in the coaching staff. I think that people who have been close to him, who've had a chance to see him since he's arrived, feel good about Nyland Green. So definitely, I think when you're looking at this freshman class, he's the name that jumps off the board to me. You're waiting on 2 more guys, Kamari Lassiter, or I'm sorry, 1 more with Kamari Lassiter. Terrion Arnold, obviously, I think this ups the game for him. 4-star safety out of the Tallahassee area. Florida, Alabama, Georgia, his top 3. I expect Georgia to push wildly hard for him now, given that Tyreek Stevenson in the portal. You know, he's a kid who can play cornerback as well, and I think that they could possibly use him there as well. So,
my next question was, can he play cornerback? And it's nothing. I mean, I know we haven't listed the safety, but, you know, Georgia has a couple pretty good safeties back there right now, and, you know, more in the pipeline. Heard good things about Major Burns and some other stuff like that. But that's just that was going to be my next question. What's about him?
Here's the thing: part of recruiting of any coach is looking into the future, and that's what we've done in our recruiting with Jalen Kimber and Ringo. You got two guys that can jump in there, maybe not with the experience, but Ringo really benefited from this year from a standpoint. I don't know how much he'd have got to play with those other four corners out there. Maybe he would have jumped in there, but the fact that he got that shoulder repaired, the fact that he got all those reps in practice after he was ready to go without the contact on him, but just the technique, walkthroughs, everything. The guy's a special player. He's number one back in the country last year. So he's going to have a lot of pressure on him, but at the same time, he's going against Pickens. He's going against these guys in practice, and he's getting a lot of reps. So I feel good about him. I feel good about Kimber. He's got a good takeaway. He's got a good smooth back. We used to say skate and read. You're going to skate back, and then you're going to read. Now, you don't do as quite as much as that when you do press coverage, but he's got a nice little skate to him, and he's really smooth as a baby's ass from a standpoint, just smooth-looking player. And, we talked about getting Island Green. I like Green. I watched his tape. He's going to have to surface quickly, but he's going to get a lot of practice here now. Spring practice, even if we don't have practice, they got walkthroughs, all that stuff. He's on campus. He's going to meet. So it's not like we're not going to have a front to rush the passer or linebackers or outside backers to go to that front seven that's going to take some pressure off them. Obviously, people, that first game against Clemson, but Clemson's secondary, I think stats can tell you they lost just about everybody too. So, hey, that's part of the college football. You change players, you revamp it, and you get going. And there's nothing we can do about it and hash it over. These guys are gone. Let's see what we got. But our cupboard is a lot stronger than it was when he got here. When we played with that secondary in 2016, our number one call was Hail Mary, Father. We just get back there every down. You just never knew what was going to happen to that secondary, did you? It was unreal, wasn't it, Jay?
No question about it. And I think that you make a great point, Coach, when you talk about the cupboard. And I tell people this at almost the end of every cycle. If there's a spot available, you've seen Georgia, especially under Kirby Smart, really spin those spots. I won't say willy-nilly. He's careful in how he does it. But if there's a cornerback or a safety out there that they feel is a possible player, they're going to spend that spot on that guy. They've spent heavily at defensive back because he understands the value of that in this league. You saw a late add in Deron Branch last year. You saw a late take out of Major Burns last year. You're talking about going back to that.
DJ Daniels
was a great pick. And I talked to somebody about this yesterday. They said, Georgia does such a great job recruiting and has used the transfer portal so well, should we be concerned moving forward this year? I don't think there's – I think that you have to have that same expectation. They're going to pull the stops out for Terrion Arnold. They're going to go through the graduate transfers. They're going to go through the transfer portal. They're going to mine every possible resource. And I give them a lot of credit because they've got a lot of good depth there already. But I do think they're going to go hard in the portal going into February.
It's going to be like free agency in the pro football. These kids are going to look around, where can I go, particularly one-year guys. They're going to look around, where can I go and mine my craft and get myself ready for the league, plus play for win. People talk about playing for championships. That's one thing, but these guys are a lot more geared into getting in the league than they are playing for championship. I wish it was true, but that's willy-nilly. Don't you guys think that?
I mean, yeah, 100%.
Coach, I say this all the time because it drives me crazy when people talk recruiting and they say, that team only won 5 games last year. They won't be able to recruit. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? That team is going to be able to turn to every kid and say, you can play right away. You'll be out of here in 3 years. When you have players that always, they don't say, hey, I'm going to University of Texas, for the next 3 or 4 years. I'm not going to University of Texas to win a national title. I'm going to Alabama to win a title. I'm going to Georgia to win a title. They always say, I'm going to LSU for the next 3 or 4 years. I'm going to Clemson for the next 3 or 4 years. What are they emphasizing? fact that they're going to be done in three freaking years to go to the NFL.
They want to play early, show their stuff, and go in the NFL in 3 years and make their money.
And again, and it's I got nothing against them. I'm just saying that the playing for a title is a secondary aspect to.
If I had the opportunity, that's what I'd want to do too.
And which is tough for us to understand because most of us, I mean, I assume, and a lot of our fans that are listening, are college football fans first, and they're like, "Why aren't you doing this for the college? Why aren't you doing this for the college?" They're thinking NFL instead, and that's difficult for a lot of our fans to imagine.
So, Dane, when we're talking about this kind of push for a title, everyone mentioned a lot of guys that came back for Alabama this past year, guys who improved their draft status but also helped them win a title. Folks were looking back to when Georgia in 2017, when you had all those seniors come back, what a change that was, you know, having Davin Bellamy come back, you know, Lorenzo Carter, guys like that, you know, Chubb and those guys. This past week, we broke a lot of news about guys coming back. You saw Jordan Davis coming back, which we kind of mentioned that was coming. We mentioned Jamari Sawyer coming back, Adam Anderson, JT Daniels, James Cook. That's a lot of new, and I say a lot of production returning for this team. Is this setting up? Because I kind of mentioned before, you just feel that frustration of, Georgia gets one of its best rosters ever, but Alabama's even better. You know, it's like, what do you need to do? And now all of a sudden I got that feeling, you know, you get the bad news that Tariq Stevens is leaving, but at the same time, you got James Cook back. I don't think anybody was expecting that. I think you get Zamir White back. I made that prediction recently. I think Zamir White comes back. I think it's a big deal. Jamari Sawyer comes back. Justin Schaefer. Everybody thought Justin Schaefer's gone. He's coming back. So it seems to me like you got a lot of experienced guys coming back for this football team. Devontae Wyatt. Sorry, I keep trying to get to you, but I keep thinking of new guys that are coming back that, you know, guys who started a ton of games.
I mean, just start the hype train for 2021, right? I mean, it's going to be the most stacked offense that I can remember at Georgia and a really good defensive front seven that has a lot of experience. So we have, 9 months now to hype up everything about the offense and have outrageous expectations that it should score 50 points a game. And maybe that's not outrageous. I have no idea. What I know is that Georgia has the pieces in place to be the next LSU of 19, to be the next Alabama of 20. It is that level of talent on the offensive side of the football. Now, you're going to have a couple areas of concern. We've already addressed those. It's going to be defensive back. It's going to be offensive line. But the whole discussion you guys were just having, when you get Jordan Davis to come back, that is remarkable because that is an NFL football player that's going to make a lot of money in the league and be able to support his family based on that money. Sometimes there's players, I think of like Chris Davis at Auburn that ran back the kick six. By being at Auburn for that, he's a legend there that's going to do way more for his reputation than he would have in the couple of years in the league based on his talent, right? And I think he's an assistant coach at a high school in Alabama now. So some of these guys that are just going to be a stringer in the NFL for 3 years and then be out of a job, they would be better served to try to come back and do something for their school and try to, you know, I think a guy like Richard LeCount, he could have gone last year. He decided to come back. And when he's done playing football, I guarantee you the state of Georgia is going to take care of Richard LeCount. So, you know, I think there's a mix of that both ways and players need to kind of think really long term of what the NFL has in store for them. A guy like Jordan Davis, I think he just loves Georgia. I heard Coach talk about that last week. And, you know, he can make a lot of money in the draft this year. Second, third round, maybe even late first if it's just a team. He's chosen to come back. He wants to play for Georgia, be in Athens another year, and he thinks that he'll be able to be a first-round pick next season. And I think all that could be true. You know, but getting him and Jamari Sawyer, you're just – the thing that set up Bama last year at this time for what just happened last night, we're seeing that for Georgia right now. A lot of pieces have to go from here, but you're seeing that foundational base set up for 2021.
Coach, I'm going to get your take on all the guys that have come back. But before we do that, I want to mention our friends over at YourPie have done a fantastic job making their pizza and all their menu items very, very healthy. They have vegan pizza. They have vegetarian pizza. They have keto. So if you're on a keto diet, you can hit that up. If you say, hey, I like pizza, but I'm allergic to gluten, they have gluten-free. They have low-carb, low-cal, plant-based. You're like, hey, I'm not – pizza is normally, you know, there's meat on it like that. No, they have you don't want to go quite vegetarian, but you want that kind of meat substitute. They have the plant-based substitutes out there. So check out our friends at YourPie. ridiculous number of locations, and also a great franchise. Hey, it's a new year, and you're like, hey, I don't like this job I'm in. Reach out to Drew French and Natalie French and talk about opening a franchise. They have and they make it super easy. They are great with the way they scout locations. You can make a ton of money. I know at least one guy, a former photographer I used to work with, Bob Rosato, not only opened one, he opened more than one because they it's like, hey, if money's good, more money's better. You know, so he's got two spots, and Bob is one of the brightest guys out there. But if a photographer can do it, then anybody can. Take my word for that. So check out our friends at EuroPie. And we, again, we're starting a new year. We appreciate them sponsoring the show. And what helps us is, to, you know, if you swing out to any of those EuroPie, say, yeah, listen to the UGA Sports Podcast. Thank you for sponsoring it. We'd appreciate it. I don't know if we'll ever get back to Drew. Drew's just a diehard dog fan. His whole family is. So I don't know if we're helping him or not, but he does support our show. We really appreciate that. And also, speaking of dog fans and people in the Athens area, because every time I go down Millage and pass Drew's office, if you go through 5 points, you will run by our friends at Masada Leather and Gifts. Now, Irv out there has been there since the 70s. They have custom sandals, custom belts, custom bags. They have vests, they have jewelry, wallets, everything you can imagine. And I can go through the whole list, and it's 30, 40 items or different categories of stuff. But check out their website. Go to MasadaLeather.com. They're in the 5 Points area beside the Royal Peasant and Earth Fair. You can go into the store. The store always smells fantastic. I love going out there. And I like getting gifts there. But, you know, we just finished up the holiday season, but now you're going to have birthdays and anniversaries and stuff like that. If you need gifts or you just want stuff for yourself, swing out by Masada Leather. Check them out. But, you know, before you go, check out the website, because you can buy a lot of stuff on the website. We've had folks drive in from all over the place to go by Masada. You don't have to drive. You can buy it online. So check out our friends at Masada Leather and Gifts, and let them know that the folks at UGA Sports sent you. Coach, Jordan Davis back. JT Daniels back. Jamari Sawyer back. Devontae Wyatt back. Adam Anderson back. A lot of guys coming back. Am I getting overly excited about this, or was this expected?
Well, you want your best players on your team, if you can, to be coming back, but you can't blame them if they go to the league. You know, sometimes these guys got aspirations that might be a little higher than what their ratings are. And we've talked about, we could talk about, you know, why these guys, but I think a lot of things to me, having Anderson be this fired up the way he wrote his Twitter or whatever he did, his announcement, you know, I think this limited success he's had is going to catapult him on forward. And I just go back to a guy like Breeny. You know, we've been talking about, when's he going to play? What's he going to do? Is he going to transfer? All of a sudden, he looked like an all-conference Big Ten defensive back compared to those guys. If 24 is the best corner in the Big Ten, then that guy last night just got his pants pulled down on national television time after time. It was ridiculous. So my point is, you know, back in the old days, you could redshirt guys, they would develop all that. But now, instant gratification. If they don't play the first week, what's wrong with this guy? How's he going to develop? But you got a guy now like Breeny, had a little success on playing in a game, kind of like Alargie did against Texas in the game, just came on strong. And then, you know, for 2 years was a dominant player. I don't know if Breeny will do that, but he's got to feel good about his chances now at star or being in there.
Breeny had the two tackles for loss in the bowl game. I mean, he showed that he could do it from the back end and coming in.
Good point there, Stat. So I think from my standpoint, just having these guys and Kirby, for people that don't read your site, I don't know why they wouldn't, but, you know, he's always talking about leadership. And when you lose guys that really a Roquan or a Nick Chubb, a silent leader, Roquan, a guy that's outward, you know, it's hard to replace that kind of these. You earn that trust the way you act, the way you do things, go to class, lift weights, do everything the right way. And then they're out of there. Who's going to be the next guy? Well, now all of a sudden, Monty Rice is gone. But, you know, we got these other guys back that have really set some standards. And so in the off-season program, that's why I think Zamir being here, here's a guy that's withstood two major ACL surgeries, and he goes out there and busts his butt every day, works harder than anybody out there to try to get to the level where he once was, which is going to be hard to do. But these kids see that. Yeah. This guy's doing this with two ACLs, and I've got great legs. Why can't I work this hard? So the point is, you got to have that kind of leadership to develop some followership. And I'm not being all hanky-panky, hunky-dory type here, but the off-season program, you build that pride, you build that leadership, and you develop the followership of these guys wanting to have the goals and to take it forward. So the short answer after the long answer is having guys that are committed to coming back and going through this grind, and it is a grind. I'm telling you, the grind they went through this last year, hopefully they'll never have to do it again. But that was why I was so worried about the bowl game. You know, these guys had to come back and practice 10 more times. But, you know, we got the win. But we got a good nucleus of good kids. You can't win with bums. We got some good guys. We didn't got a lot of turds here, I can tell you that. We don't have those kind of kids here. Kirby's good. Kirby's good on the character. And, you know, regardless of how it's worked out, these virtual classes, all the stuff they've had to put the emphasis on academics because hardly any social life now. These kids are doing well in the classroom. And, you know, here's a guy, Hill, graduating 3 years from Georgia. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, I guarantee you a lot of people out there couldn't even get in Georgia now, much less graduate in 3 years. So, myself included. So I'm just telling you.
No, you're right.
This glass is more than half full here. I said it 2 weeks ago, more than half full. And compared to the rest of the league, it's more than half full. Next to Bama, we got a quarterback that's a lot more proven than what Alabama does. And we'll see what happens. But, Florida's got to play Bama. We got to play Arkansas and Auburn. So let's see what happens.
I think the easy answer to this question is probably Jordan Davis. And I'm not going to begrudge anyone if they feel that way. But of these guys who are returning, who do you think is the biggest deal? For me, I lean toward Jamari Sawyer, given that you need some consistency on the offensive line. You had all the turnover going into this year. It looked like you were bound for it again next year. I think to have a guy of that caliber, of his consistency, kind of anchoring that line down and leading the way for those young guys is a really huge deal.
I agree.
Same reason, leadership in the off-season program. When they go up there, and people don't get to watch that like I have in the past, but they go by groups. So all the old line work together, and you're looking and you're comparing yourself. This guy's got a good shuttle. This guy's got a very good technique on his turning his hips over. Boy, he can really shuffle back. And you watch each other and you compete, and they keep grades on them. They grade them every time they do anything in an off-season program. And after it's over, they film it. They show it to them, or they tape it. They don't film it. They show it to them. And every week you get a comparative. This is where you were at the first of the week. This is where you are right now. Where are you going to go? So it's so competitive. I mean, it really is a very good way to do things. You do it by group. So having Jordan Davis lead that D-line group, you think the kid from Greer's not going to be jacked up watching him work? You're going to see the same thing with all these big linemen coming in, working out, watching Jamari. That's a good point. And same thing's true with backs. The mere back, Carroll's going to watch the way he practices. The last thing I would say here, is it's a big cultural shock to come in here as a freshman and watch Georgia practice. Because I've been everywhere. You know, I sound like Johnny Cash. I've been everywhere, man. But I'm going to tell you, this practice here is very organized. There's every detail's down just like anywhere, but they don't stop. They get a lot of reps in and they work hard, and everybody – Kirby's got this one motto: train them all, coach them all. You know, so everybody gets the same amount of reps, whether you're fourth team or first team, but maybe you're not going with quite the same kind of caliber players with you. But these guys get a chance to develop. So I was trying to give you all a little inside scoop about the off-season program.
No, that's good to do. And to kind of combine those two together, Jake's talking about, you know, some of the bigger names. Of course, everyone's going to say, or at least I think a lot of people say, getting JT Daniels back is a big deal.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Because that's all we talked about was, you know, I felt like most of the year all we were talking about was quarterback situation. But I think when you go back to what was Georgia doing this year, is rebuilding its offensive line, trying to find a new quarterback. You know, that was kind of crazy. But, you know, you lost both starting tackles to the first round of the NFL. You lost some guards.
Kinley.
Yeah, losing Solomon Kinley to go play for Miami for, you know, as a starter down there. You're replacing a lot. And then this year you're looking at replacing all three of your interior guys. You got to replace your center. You got to replace Ben Cleveland. You got to replace Justin Schaefer. Now, wait a second. All of a sudden, Jamari Sawyer slides inside. You've got a super talented guard, and Justin Schaefer comes back. You don't have to replace him. So instead of replacing three interior linemen, you only have to replace the center. And you're going to have Schaefer and Sawyer on either side of, you know, be it Warren Erickson or Cedric Van Pran or Austin Blaski or whoever you get at center. That center's going to have a pretty good damn day. So I'm just thinking, you know, that change about, you know, you mentioned Jamari Sawyer come back. Coach mentioned from a leadership standpoint. Jake, you mentioned him from what he can do. And that poor bugger is going to get to go up against Jordan Davis every day.
here's your reward.
Here's your reward. You get to face Jordan Davis. But again, and the way the defense just looks to me, it looks completely different. It could be the teams, but it just feels different with Jordan Davis sitting in that zero technique and just
he just takes up so much room,
stacking up people, you know, stacking and packing the way he does in center there.
Well, I'll give you two names, one that y'all have mentioned, one you haven't. Adam Anderson is going to be able to take the role of the closer that Aziz Ojulari has been. When Georgia needed to end a game, it was Aziz flying around the edge and getting a sack. Adam Anderson is the player on the team best equipped to do that. He and probably Nolan Smith, if he can kind of build up a little bit more. The other name, it's not a player. Every year that Georgia retains Del McGee and some other SEC team, doesn't make him their offensive coordinator, which would be an incredibly smart move for any team out there, is bonus for Georgia. He is an elite assistant coach, an elite recruiter. He knows the state better than pretty much anybody. You know, the fact that Georgia is retaining him and he continues to do well in that role, it is massive every single year that passes by and someone has not snagged Dale McGee.
It's a great day when one of our rivals announces their offensive coordinator and his name is not Dale McGee.
Hey, speaking of breaking news, I see that four-star defensive back Christian Tutt has entered the transfer portal.
He's entered it last week, Ronnie.
It's not just the Bulldogs that are dealing with these issues.
Christian Tutt entered it last week, didn't he?
I'm just saying, I'm looking at a tweet right here from came up.
From Auburn?
Yeah.
Auburn's lost a lot.
Does he release it every week?
That's all I know.
Wherever he goes, I mean, good luck to him. But, we wore him out, didn't we?
Yeah,
I know people will probably say, oh, wow, we should consider getting that guy because he was at an SEC rival. I don't see it with Christian Tutt. I don't think you'll see Georgia.
Marcavius Bryant. We saw Marcavius Bryant. There was Georgia's going to get him. No, maybe not the big cat. But again, it's not
just because of scholarship needs. I mean, and limitations. The one thing, when Wyatt comes back and Schaefer comes back, those guys won't count against our 85. That helps a little bit.
I wonder if Demetrius Robertson will come back too. I think
he could come back. He could come.
There might be a possibility there. Jake, go ahead. We're going to have to hit these questions. We only have a few minutes left in the show, but before we hit the questions, we'll have to answer them quickly. I do want to mention our friends over at DR Construction Maintenance, Ronnie Brown, down there in Liberty County, Long County, and Bryan County. If you need work done on your home or your office or anything else, you know, reach out to our friend Ronnie Brown, big supporter of the show, big supporter of the website, always has good questions for us, a damn good guy. So reach out to DR Construction and Maintenance, and he will take care of you. We appreciate him sponsoring the show. Also, if you need, when I talk about having work done on your house, if you're in the North Georgia area and you need your garage door repaired, reach out to Aaron Overhead Doors, AARON, like Aaron Murray, you know. Aaron Overhead Doors, they will take care of you. Ryan Lucia and the folks over there, they do a fantastic job. They are a customer service company that just happens to work in garage doors. So when you reach out to them, they're going to make it as easy as possible, be it from the initial contact through checking to see if you were happy with the work that they have completed. It's going to be one of the best customer service experiences you will ever have. And it feels weird being thinking like, what, customer service for garage door? Yes, this is your home. This is the portal to your home. You need it to work. You need it to work right. You need it to be coordinated with the little buttons in your car. You need it to, the last thing you would be stuck outside on a rainy, sleety day, you know, or on a hot day or something like that, and you can't get into your house because your garage door is not working or it's giving you some sort of hiccup, stuff like that. Reach out to Aaron Overhead Doors. They will take care of it. And I guarantee you that Ryan Lucia checks to make sure that everybody's happy. And that is his number one thing. He could be working in any other business, but he just happens to be in the garage door business. And if you need garage door work, you'll thank your lucky stars that that's what he chose to do. All right, Jake, hit us up with some questions, brother.
All right, I like this one because it's a one-word answer from everybody. It's a fill-in-the-blank from Riser over on the board. He says, UGA secondary in 2021 will be blank. Dane, start with you, buddy.
You're asking one word. I was going to say work. I was going to say work in progress. Talented, but fine. Work in progress.
That works for me, too. All right, work in progress. Roddy, what do you got?
Rebuilding.
Dave?
Tested. They don't have numbers and experience, but they're going to be thrown left and right, and new offenses are pass central, so going to be tested.
Abused. Yeah.
Coach, what do you got? What do you think?
Ajax.
Stronger than Ajax, huh? I kind of agree with you, Coach. I think they'll be surprising. That's the word that I would use for Georgia's 2021.
We're allowed to agree.
I think this is where the recruiting will pay off in a major way for Georgia.
Didn't Alabama have to replace four of their five defensive backs?
I don't know. They didn't replace them with much. But how about Alabama? How about Alabama in the middle of the field this year? I mean, if you could throw the ball in the middle of the field, I mean, but I feel good about our secondary, and because it's a collective unit, 11 people on the field at the same time, good coaching, I feel good about it. So I would have felt better if a couple of these guys were around. But, you know, Stevenson's a good player, but he's had some issues just like everybody. But, it's just going to be interesting to get another question here. Let's go.
All right, this one I thought very interesting as well. Anybody that you're looking forward to in this spring practice or possibly moving into next fall as a guy from the 19 or 20 class who has had a slow start to his career but could see this be kind of a breakout year for him? Anybody want to take that one? Anybody jump off to anybody?
I'd say Amar Speed. I think Speed's got to step up. He's got the talent. He's been – suppressed by some pretty good players ahead of him. You know, we look at Baker, all these guys, but he's either going to do it this spring or he's not. I think he's got the ability, but he probably has a tendency to overplay things. But, it was a coin flip whether he was going to play the other day, but Breeny came in and played star, and so Stevenson played corner. But if Stevenson would have played star, then he would have been the corner in the game. So we'll see. I think Speed's the guy for me.
I want to see any of the five-star tackles that we got the year before in Broderick and Tate, see if anyone steps up to a starting role or a very pivotal role on the offensive line.
You could see both of them. I think they're going to move Rattledge inside.
Yeah.
There you go.
Give me Clay Webb. I'd like to see what he's – I know he was hampered with an ankle injury this year, so that kind of set him back, but I'd like to see what he can do because that's one of the most technically sound offensive linemen I've seen in a long time. So I'd like to see what he – you know. Maybe step up in spring or the fall.
From the class of 18, Channing Tindall.
I like that.
big moments this year.
I think that a guy that is kind of in that similar vein, as Coach said, like Amir Speed, a guy that it's kind of due time for, Xavier Truss for me. You know, this is going to be a big spring for Xavier Truss. He's got a lot to compete against. He's got a lot of guys to fight it out with. So interesting to see how that one goes for Xavier Truss. Coach, this one for you. I did an article yesterday on UGASports.com. Go check it out. 2022 quarterbacks to watch. Our guy Jordan Green wants to know, Do you think Kirby will go more heavily after a pro style quarterback in the vein of maybe like Gunnar Stockton, or do you see the Georgia trying to go more dual threat looking forward in the 2022 class, given what they have with Brock Vandegrift in 2021?
You know, knowing Coach Monken, knowing Coach Smart, they're going to go with the best available. I mean, if the guy is a dual threat, they'll go with him. If he's more of a pro style, they'll go with him. I think that's whichever one is the best one that they can rate in the state. And we've brought in different kind of guys here the last couple of years. Beck is not that much of a dual threat, but more of an arm talent. And Brock was both. So I would say whichever one he thinks is the best at what he does. So, but certainly that was a good article. I mean, you really threw it out there that you had it analyzed pretty well. And all those guys have got some, you know, quarterbacks are so much more advanced now with the training they get, with the 7-on-7 in the summer, all the stuff. They're just ready to go a lot quicker. And I read today where people are saying now Stockton's going to Auburn because Bobo's there. We'll have to see. But, you know, we got a good quarterback room here now, and we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think also, too, definitely keep watching 2022 quarterback names. I think that you're going to see that really accelerate toward the spring. I don't think Georgia's done offering at that position. Till Dog wants to know, Coach, any early predictions on a starting offensive line next fall?
Well, I think you just go by who the tackle is going to be. I think you got a rotation inside with Erickson, Van Pran, Schaefer, and Salyer. Those four guys are going to be set, and we'll see what happens, how they move around. And then Webb could be in there too. And you got to watch what Ratledge does. You know, in his defense, he had a situation where he couldn't practice a whole lot because he had a concussion, and then he got COVID. But I really like his speed. I like his attitude. But, you know, Broderick Jones and Mims on the outside are just going to be – that's going to be a heck of a fight there. And then you got McClendon, you know, probably close to being the MVP the way he came around all year and made freshman All-American. But if I had to bet, I would say left tackle, Mims, left guard, Schaefer, center, Erickson, right guard, Schaefer, right tackle, McClendon, with Jones right in the mix there, and with Ratledge, that would be the first seven.
Freshman left tackle. All right.
What?
I said freshman left tackle. That's a big prediction. Right,
that's
there.
Not a freshman. It's going to be – Jones could take him, though. I mean, those seven, those are my first
– No, I agree with you.
Those are my first seven, and I'm sticking with it.
I agree with you completely. I think that you're talking about them duking it out for left tackle, and then I think the other guy – honestly, I think whoever loses that left tackle battle ends up overtaking McClendon at right tackle. I think
good, awesome. Good. One of them good.
Yeah.
Vital, though.
Last question here for the day. Cam Walker says, any news on Eric Gilbert? Anybody heard anything lately? Florida is the word that I've been hearing, but I'll tell you this. It seems like one of those situations where anybody who tells you what's going on, they know what's going on right there. Probably not a clue. So, you know, it's gone back and forth. It's been Georgia and Alabama. Now Florida, it sounds like, really heavily in the mix. And I get that. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we were talking Tennessee a week ago.
So. Yeah, right. I think Florida is selling him on the opportunity to be the man. They've lost Kadarius Toney. They lost Trevon Grimes. They lost Kyle Pitts. Obviously, they got to figure out their quarterback situation, but he can be a focal point of that offense. I don't think Georgia can promise him that as much, just given the weapons that they've got returning. I'm not saying they're out of it, but it does sound Florida heavy to me right now.
I think you have a situation where everyone's expecting him to make an announcement in the coming days because they're looking at the academic calendars, you know, like, Florida reports on the 15th, Georgia reports on the 19th, and vice versa, whatever day they have to be back, and he'll have an announcement by then. I don't hold your breath.
He'll probably just show up.
Georgia starts tomorrow.
Yeah, first day of classes is tomorrow. As of 1:04, this is on Tuesday, Gilbert is not enrolled at the University of Georgia, which doesn't really mean a damn thing right now.
No, not at all.
Roddy made a good point there. I mean, he doesn't have to. He can still take classes at LSU and transfer after the semester this spring. So it's not an overwhelming thing that you got to report right away, I don't think. But tonight's going to be a big night for the Dogs. Hey, first team meeting tonight. So everybody will be back and ready to go and start it up tomorrow.
Like Roddy said, it's a new year.
New year. And that's we'll actually have to start doing – we have a New Year's resolution to actually start turning out good shows.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. We failed. How many years are we going to promise ourselves that?
Anyway, that's all the time we have for this week's show. We'll talk. We'll be back next Tuesday at noon. Want to thank Athens Ford, Academia Brewing Company. Again, look, so we're in the lounge here. This is a great place. Got great seats, great giant screen behind us where we're watching the highlights of Alabama taking the OSU. Shout out to Europie. Shout out to Aaron over at Door. Shout out to Soda Leather. Of course, DR Construction Maintenance. Won't be long before we're back at Classic City Eats. We're going to check out with those guys when they're opening up their Watkinsville location. So we'll be popping up there, see what they've done. And we appreciate everyone who has been a member of UGASports.com. You allow us to do this. We appreciate it. And please continue to support us in that vein. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.